According to the Institute for Women's Policy Research, full-time working women in the United States earn only 80.5 cents for every $1 earned by men. Women, on average, earn less than men in nearly every single occupation. Not surprisingly, though sadly for a profession where creativity should be without gender biases, the pay gap exists for book authors too. Welcome to Copyright Clearance's podcast series. I'm Christopher Keneally for Beyond the Book. Publishing's gender pay gap is rather remarkable, according to a scholarly paper recently published in PLOS One. Researchers examined more than 2 million book titles published between 2002 and 2012. They discovered that book titles by female authors command nearly half the price of male authors' books. Women are also underrepresented as authors in many prestigious genres. The digital revolution that gave rise to independent publishing in the last decade has even replicated the traditional segregation and discrimination. The study's co-author, Dana Beth Weinberg, is professor of sociology at Queen's College, CUNY. She is an indie author, too, having self-published the Russian mafia crime series Kings of Brighton Beach under the pseudonym D.B. Schuster. She joins me now from New York City. Welcome back to Beyond the Book, Professor Weinberg.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we look forward to chatting with you about this study, which has gotten a great deal of attention, reporting on it in Fast Company and The Guardian and quite a lot of other places as well. So clearly the right moment to be publishing this, although certainly you must have begun your research some time ago, long before the Me Too movement sort of took front stage in our national consciousness. So let's summarize the top-level findings of your research, and there's quite a lot to sort out here. As I referred to in the opening, there will be a kind of distinction made between traditional publishing and indie publishing, otherwise known as self-publishing, but also the kinds of discrimination that may be at play here. There are various levels of that. It's a lot to go through, and I'll let you do that, Dana. So tell us, what did you find, and what were you, in fact, looking for?
So I'm going to start with what we were looking for, because in the literature on gender discrimination in all kinds of industries, not anything particular to publishing, we generally look at three types of discrimination. And these are ones that are easy to observe, and we tend to look at them within employment organizations. So we're looking at organizations, and one of the reasons that we're doing that is because regulations and restrictions can very easily be applied to them. So we can observe the behavior, and there's something that can more easily be done about it. In the case of publishing, those employment organizations are the traditional publishers. And so we started out by looking at the three kinds of discrimination that I'll talk about in a moment within the traditional publishing world. But then we said, you know, the world is changing so much, not just in publishing, but in other places as well, as we're moving toward from the traditional economy where people work in organizations, where people might have spent their whole work lives in organization, in the same organization. And now there's much more of a split where people are moving around more and even having work lives that are outside of organizations, where we move toward what's commonly called the gig economy, if you think about freelancers or contractors or that kind of thing. You know, even the Uber and Lyft drivers are all part of this new gig economy. And in that world, there aren't employment organizations that can be easily observed and regulated. And so as we started to think about what's happening with discrimination in the traditional publishing world, we also started to wonder what's happening in indie publishing, where we don't have publishers, the traditional publishers involved, and what does that mean for the broader gig economy? The three types of discrimination that we looked at are allocative, valuative, and within job. Allocative discrimination has to do with the sorting of people into positions. And really where you see this happening is when, for example, we think of a particular job as belonging to one gender or another. So school teachers and social workers, for example, tend to be more female, and construction workers tend to be more male, just some examples. And so within publishing, we might think about the genres in that way, that there are certain genres that are more male and certain genres that are more female. And certainly some of the strongest examples of this have to do with romance, which is a highly predominantly female genre, and science and technology books, which tend to be much more male. And so we were looking at this question of sorting. And at first we thought, you know, when we move to indie, any kind of barriers to picking your genre are going to be gone because the publisher is not there anymore to say, yes, you're in and you're out. It's sort of a, you know, free for all to decide what you want to do. And so in that particular type, with regard to the sorting, we saw, though, that indie authors were largely replicating the patterns that were in the traditional publishing world in terms of what was more highly female and what was more highly male. We then looked at what's called valuative discrimination, and this is really at the heart of comparable worth arguments. And it has to do with this question of whether we value work differently if it's done predominantly by women. And so, you know, again, coming back into the general economy, you might think about why it is that nursing is valued less than some other profession that is highly male. And so, you know, here we're looking at if we look at the percentage of male or female authors, is there any kind of association with the value that's placed on that? And value can be determined in so many ways. VIDA has called attention to the counts of women authors and the kinds of books that are getting attention in the New York Times reviews, for example. And one of the things that's come to light is that women tend to write in genres that don't get quite as much prestigious attention. But it also has to do with what publishers are doing in terms of the investments that they're making in the books that they're publishing. For example, is something going to come out in hardcover? Is it going to be distributed to a wide range of places, or is it only going to come out in digital, which costs less money? And so how much marketing and advertising is going to go into it? And so there's all kinds of decisions that are being made about what to invest that have to do with how much we see the book as being worth, not only in terms of what it might sell for on the market, but, for example, in terms of its staying value. So we looked at that and we found that in both the indie world and the traditional publishing world, the genres that were predominantly female got less investment and had lower prices associated with them. And then finally, we said, net of all of that, when we take out this issue of segregation and when we control for this issue of the differences in value, what happens when we look within the genres? And this is the within job discrimination, where men and women who are in the same job title are also paid differently. And here we found that the price setting for the books also followed that pattern. In traditional publishing, the difference between a title with the author that you could easily identify as male and one that could be identified as female was 9%. And in traditional publishing, that difference was 4%. I mean, in indie publishing, that was 4%.
Well, there's a lot to digest there, Dana, and we will link to the study that is now published on Plus One. But I wonder if you can look at the pricing point, this notion of this gender pay gap, that the striking headline, as I say, it really has gotten attention of journalists around the world, that female authors as a whole command nearly half the price of male authors' books. This is a really remarkable finding.
It's remarkable and depressing.
Absolutely.
And we honestly didn't expect to find such a large gap. And our first analyses went straight to this question of, well, when you compare apples to apples and you're looking within the genres, what's the difference? But over time, we've really come to appreciate that this larger gap that has to do with who's publishing what and how those different things are valued is really part and parcel of this whole story. And that's where that 45% gap shows up for traditional publishing. Interestingly, in indie publishing, that overall difference with all of the pieces, all of the moving pieces involved is only 7%. So there's far more equality. And that seems at first like good news, but there's a caveat. And that's that in indie publishing, the prices are so much lower and so compressed that some of this equality may just be because we're driving toward the lower part of the market.
Let's look at two points there. So when it comes to genres that are more distinguished in some way or another and the discrimination, the segregation that goes on there, where do you see that particularly? Is it books on science, books on public policy, anything you can tell us about the kinds of sort of serious genre that really are so bifurcated?
There's so many different places that it happens, but one of the ones that strikes me is in the fiction world. And this is partly because I've been doing some work on fiction writers and even attending conferences. And a couple of years ago, I was very lucky to be able to attend the International Thriller Writers Conference. And there was a running joke that really made me think about this research. One of the thriller writers said, what's the difference between a thriller writer and a mystery writer? Now, keep in mind that the thriller writers, not that the person who was telling the joke realized this, are predominantly male, whereas mystery writers have a lot more female authors. And the punchline is $100,000 in advance.
That's not a very funny joke. It's a very sad one. And were people laughing, or was it really, I suppose, in that humor, there was a large kernel of truth and people recognized it?
Well, given that it was the Thriller Writers Conference and the people who were there were thriller writers, there was a lot of laughter, right? Because they had chosen the right genre, I suppose. But, you know, when you look at it in this larger context, then indeed it's a much starker comment.
And as a sociologist, I want to take us back to the point you made about independent publishing, what we used to call self-publishing, and the ways that because the gatekeepers aren't there, because some of the traditional boundaries have been removed, you would expect to see a greater parity between male and female authors. You say it is certainly closer there, and yet there are reasons to think that even in that new world, some of the old rules still apply.
Right. So the overall gap between male and female authors in indie, as I said, is only 7%, which is not as large of a gap as the glaring 45% in traditional publishing. But when you look at the patterns of segregation and you look at the patterns of how the genres are valued, those are really very close mirrors to what you see in traditional publishing. And even the difference in pricing exists. It's just a little bit smaller. It's 4% compared to 9%. So, but it's still there. And really, when you start to look at that and you say, well, why isn't there such a big difference in the prices for these different books? It has to do with the fact that everything is priced so similarly.
Well, Professor Weinberg, I want to ask you one last question, which is to sort of commend you for getting a lot of attention in the media around this. But I wonder whether there's been any attention from publishers themselves. Have they reached out to you and asked to learn more about this research because they want to respond to it? Has there been any sense that things need to change?
I haven't heard from any publishers yet, but the study is relatively new, so there's still opportunity for that, I think. I think the author community and even people who are working in the publishing world are very interested in this. And so we've had a lot of people asking about what can we do about it, but it hasn't been through any official channels.
Well, it's interesting because in the UK, for example, there's a new law that requires organizations to report the pay and to assess any kind of pay gap between men and women. And that has revealed some things that have really caused public outcry. And so transparency, clarity, these things do make a difference and ultimately lead to change. So perhaps your study will be beginning of an opening of a door towards greater parity for women and men authors in all kinds of publishing, traditional publishing and the new independent genres.
And actually, what I would like to tell you is that it's because the door was open that we've been able to publish this research. So my collaborator and I have been working on this project for a few years now, and we had presented it in different places, and we've gotten lots of feedback from our colleagues about it. And we delayed and hesitated to put this out, thinking that we were going to get a lot of backlash and that we had to be ready with really watertight numbers. So we were probably overly cautious and defensive in our preparation of this article. And then it's come out and it's been so well received. And in large part, that's because there's been such a change in the way that people are thinking about these things and even in the willingness, as you said, in these EU policies and other things to really address them.
Well, as I say, it's a story that has really just begun to break across all aspects of business and society, and we expect to hear a good deal more about it, and we look forward to perhaps having you back on Beyond the Book at some point when there's more to add. We've been speaking today with Dana Beth Weinberg, Professor of Sociology at Queen's College, CUNY, co-author of a new study appearing in PLOS One called Comparing Gender Discrimination and Inequality in Indie and Traditional Publishing. It sort of delivers on that promise. It does the comparison of more than 2 million titles and comes up with some rather surprising and, as Dana says, sometimes depressing findings. We thank her for joining us. Thank you for listening. Professor Weinberg, all the very best.
Thank you so much.
Beyond the Book is produced by Copyright Clearance Center, a global leader in content management, discovery, and document delivery solutions. Through its relationships with those who use and create content, CCC and its subsidiaries RightsDirect and Ixis drive market-based solutions that accelerate knowledge, power publishing, and advance copyright. Beyond the Book co-producer and recording engineer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally. Join us again soon on Beyond the Book.